Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, in a couple of previous programs, you were discussing recent genetic research that had some profound implications for Darwinian evolutionary theory and biblical creation theory. And in today's program, you're going to discuss some more details regarding that research.
Yes, Scott. After those programs were aired, there was a lot of interest, and I received a number of requests from listeners. They were asking for the references of the published articles I had reported on in those programs. And so if anyone listening now would also like to hear those previous programs, Scott, why don't you tell them how they can listen to them?
Well, there are a couple of ways anyone can listen to the Scripture on Creation broadcast, which were previously aired.
Mm-hmm.
One way is to go to the website, scriptureoncreation.org, click on the radio tab, and from the drop-down menu, choose podcast. You'll find the most recent programs archived there. Then just pick and play the program you want to listen to.
You're right.
The other way is to simply subscribe to the podcast. It's free, and you then can download the podcast to your smart device and listen whenever you like. You can subscribe through iTunes. Just type in Scripture on Creation, or you can subscribe from the podcast page on the Scripture on Creation website.
Thanks, Scott. And let me take this opportunity to encourage everyone to subscribe. There's certainly nothing to lose, and believe me, you won't be sorry. But that is what I say, not what Scripture says.
And speaking of what you say, Dr. Scripture, when someone does want to listen to the two previously aired programs regarding the genetic research you'll be discussing again today, what would they look for?
Oh, good point, Scott. We need to remind them of that. The programs are titled, Newest Genetic Research Confirms Genesis, Part 1 and 2. And just what was that research? Well, in June of 2018, a paper titled, Why Should Mitochondria Define Species? Was published in the Rockefeller Journal of Human Evolution. And the takeaway message of the paper was that not only does mitochondrial DNA of humans indicate that the entire human race can trace its origin back to a single set of parents approximately 100,000 years ago, over 90% of all animal species can do the same. And the best explanation for this fantastically surprising phenomenon, at least from an evolutionary perspective?
It's not surprising to creationists.
That's for sure, Scott. And I'll explain why it's not a surprise to us in a minute. But the explanation for why almost all animals and humans can trace their ancestry back to a common point in time and to a single set of parents is there must have been a worldwide catastrophe that wiped out all the populations of organisms except for a single set of parents, and all the members of those populations of species that are alive today are descendants of those individuals that survived the catastrophe. What's that sound like to you, Scott?
It sounds exactly like we would expect as the result of, I don't know, a global flood and the survival of the animals on Noah's Ark.
That's it. In other words, the newest genetic research we have confirms what it says in Genesis. Now, there are problems with the interpretation of the data that was used. For example, the time frame. The time frame they use being 100,000 years, well, for evolutionists, that actually is extremely recent by their standards. But according to a literal biblical time frame, that's still much longer than a creation flood model based on a literal interpretation of Scripture. However, we discussed why we don't need to accept, in fact, why we should not accept the time frame the evolutionists come up with to determine how long ago the proposed catastrophe would have occurred in those previous programs. So I'm not going to explain that again. You need to listen to those programs if you didn't hear them. The crucial point is that this data indicates a global catastrophe wiped out most life on Earth a relatively short period of time ago, something very perplexing and even upsetting to staunch evolutionists. In fact, it was so upsetting to so many evolutionists that they prevailed upon the authors of the paper, and by the way, their names are Mark Steckel and David Thaler, to add a disclaimer at the beginning of their journal article, only about 6 months after it was published. So if you find the article online now, you'll see this note above the citation and title of the article. Scott, go ahead and read it.
Okay, quote, note added by authors December 4th, 2018. This study is grounded in and strongly supports Darwinian evolution, including the understanding that all life has evolved from a common biological origin over several billion years ago. This work follows mainstream views of human evolution. We do not propose there was a single Adam or Eve. We do not propose any catastrophic events.
Now, why in the world was it even necessary to put a disclaimer like that at the very beginning of the paper? You know, to sort of set your mind that, okay, now as I read this, I got to remember the way things appear are actually not true.
We do not support the logical conclusion of this study.
Right, Scott. That's pretty much what that statement is saying. And something else that is important to realize is these interpretations that came as a result of this research were not the intended consequences of the authors when they published the paper. Remember the title of the paper, Scott?
Wasn't it something about how to define a species?
Yes, that's close. The title was, Why Should Mitochondria Define Species? The intent of the authors was to make a case for using mDNA barcodes as the standard for determining what the accepted definition of a species is. Here's a quote from the paper which explains why these authors felt the need to propose that mitochondria should be used to define a species. Quote, there are approximately 30 different definitions of species in the biological, philosophical, and taxonomical literatures. Almost all of them share the idea that species are distinct entities in biology and the corollary idea that there are discontinuities among species. To put in simple English, they're saying species are defined by we can tell they're different from one another. Okay, I'll go on. In their clarifying and valuable analyses, Mayer and de Quiros point out that all definitions of species involve evolutionary lineages. Different distinguishing factors such as mating incompatibility, ecological specialization, and morphological distinctiveness evolve, in various cases, in a different temporal sequence. In other words, again, they don't all happen at the same time or together. During the process, as species diverge and emerge, some of these characteristics will occur while others do not. Disagreement is inevitable when different properties are considered necessary and sufficient to fit one or another definition of species.
So, Dr. Scripture, it sounds like they're saying there's basically no agreement among scientists as to what a species even is.
Right.
I always understood a species was defined as a group of organisms that could reproduce viable offspring among themselves.
Well, that's one of the definitions, but it's not the consensus opinion. You see, one of the carefully protected secrets of the science of origins, so we're not talking about medicine or mechanical engineering or the computer sciences, for example. We're talking about the study of evolution, and it is how little agreement there is amongst the experts in their various fields. Hmm. Because the more you know about the actual evidence that exists, the less it makes sense from an evolutionary worldview. And so the experts come up within their field with all kinds of different and even conflicting explanations. But to listen to the mainstream media, you would never get that impression. All you hear is scientists say this or that new discovery proves birds have evolved from dinosaurs, or modern man's nearest relative is the chimpanzee.
And you would never hear what a creation scientist might say about some new discovery.
Oh, that's for sure. And the reaction to Steckel and Thaler's research, even though they are evolutionists, is nothing more than protectionist by the greater community of evolutionists, whether they be scientists or educators, the media, or even the liberal religious groups. I can only imagine, Scott, the outcry, even threats, after the implications of Steckel and Thaler's paper were understood by evolutionary zealots. I mean, there can be no questioning of Darwinian evolution allowed. Thus, it was insisted upon the confirmation at the beginning of the paper, which read, This study is grounded in and strongly supports Darwinian evolution, wink, wink, including the understanding that all life has evolved from a common biological origin over several billion years. But the fact of the matter is, this research, which looked at 5 million individual organisms from 100,000 different species, absolutely does not support Darwinian evolution. It shows that what we would expect to find in the genetic comparisons of individuals within a species and between individuals from different species, if Darwinian evolution is true, is not there. And in spite of all the howling by the Darwin followers, I submit we are getting closer and closer to a real meltdown within the evolutionary community, and a major adjustment is going to have to be made in how Darwinian evolution by natural selection is viewed by the scientific community at large.
Dr. Scripture, it sounds like you're saying you think there's a paradigm shift coming in the way scientists think about origins.
Oh, you're right. And it's interesting you should say it that way, Scott. Now, I could certainly be wrong, because I was wrong, for example, when about 10 years ago, I said I didn't think anything would come of the intelligent design movement within the field of origin studies. I figured it would get marginalized by the evolutionists in control of academia and the media. But frankly, ID is clearly gaining adherence, and it's the kind of research that we're talking about now that is accelerating that trend. And in a way, this need for a shift in thinking was discussed by Steckel and Thaler in their paper. One of the sections in their journal article was titled, "The Pattern of DNA Barcode Variance is the Central Fact of Animal Life that Needs to be Explained by Evolutionary Theory." What they're referring to there is, evolutionary theory cannot explain what we're finding in the genetics of all animals. Wait a minute, I thought evolution explained everything. In fact, we can't understand biology if we don't look at it from the perspective of an evolutionary mindset. And yet, what they are admitting is that evolution can't explain what we're seeing. What they then go on to point out is a very famous author, an evolutionist named Thomas Kuhn, points out that this is a natural process within science, these mind shifts, we might say, or as you use the term, paradigm shift. Because Scott, the guy who came up with that phrase, and now it's a regular English idiom,
exactly,
was Thomas Kuhn. He wrote a book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, way back in 1962. And we're not going to have any more time today to discuss this, but it is fascinating. And really, the results of this new research, and really what's been being compiled for a couple of decades now, is all pointing to the need for a paradigm shift at the very foundation of Darwinian evolution by natural selection. So could it be that we're going to see a paradigm shift in the explanation for the origin and diversity of life on Earth? Well, I don't know, but it seems likely to me. And so just as there was a great paradigm shift in the scientific minds of mankind back in the days of Darwin, who knows, maybe there'll be another one in our day. But that's just speculation on my part. Here's something that involves no speculation. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.